Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Are we live? Is it working? Audio okay now? That being said, I'm still dealing with not just the no audio problem of... is it really working? Because here it's not working. You guys are hearing me right now? Maybe if I can try resetting. I'm not hearing myself. Massive audio problems here today. I hear you, says Big Tech. I'm going to have to believe you guys, I guess, because, works on my machine. And in any case, I'm dealing with other audio problem, not just the no audio problem of Odyssey, but also the fact that right now I have lost my preamp. My preamp was broken last minute as I was turning it on for the show. It blew off, and so no more preamp for my voice. Now the problem is that it's also what furnishes the phantom power, what makes it pass through three different steps of the process of my voice, and so I'm losing all these steps. So I have to speak very weirdly in the mic today. It's more effort for me. But I will try not to cough because my anti-cough machine is there. My whole threshold, peak threshold isn't set anymore. Because I've lost this critical piece in my setup, I had to bypass and go straight into the computer. So, of course, you're going to hear a very poor JF voice, but it's much more work for me to speak in the mic today because I can't breathe, I can't cough. If I cough, it's going to be like, and that's just a little cough. So we are really peaking today. Anyways, I had bought a replacement preamp tube. Hopefully it will work. I never got the chance to test it, but it's going to be my occasion to test it later tonight. But that was too long to do before the show. I want to show you what's happening. I can't breathe. I want to show you what's happening behind the scene of the community notes. This is exactly the kind of tweet that we get in the community notes, and where I get to vote that no, this shouldn't be subjected to a community vote. It's an opinion. So Paul Stanley was saying, I don't know who that is, but anyways. Paul Stanley was saying there is a big difference between teaching acceptance and normalizing and even encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children into questioning their sexual identification as though some sort of game and then parents in some cases allow it. There are individuals who as adults may decide reassignment is their needed choice. But turning this into a game of parents normalizing it as some sort of natural alternative or believing that because a little boy likes to play dress up in his sister's clothes or a girl in her brother's, we should lead them steps further down a path that's far from the innocence of what they are doing. With many children who have no real sense of sexuality or sexual experiences, caught up in the fun of using pronouns and saying what they identify as, some adults may mistakenly confuse teaching acceptance with normalizing and encouraging a situation that has been a struggle for those truly affected and have turned it into a sad and dangerous fad. That is the kind of tweet where you get a leftist in community notes that tries to label these tweets with community notes that say, first, this person confuses the concept of gender and sex. And secondly, and it's like, this is an opinion. This doesn't deserve a community note. So 99% of the community notes attempts, you don't get to see them. We vote them into oblivion. We deny them. We say that is not community note worthy, and that's it. So that is the job. In the background of community note, there is a huge debate happening, and thankfully, we don't end up labeling these tweets with the annoying moral reminders of the left and their preferences as to how to lay stuff out. This is a guy with an opinion. Let him speak. There's no need to label that opinion. There's no claims of fact that is false. And that is how I like community notes and how it's emerging. Orion says, who gets to vote? No one knows who gets to vote, but I'm one of the ones who end up voting. And so I'm very proud of being part of this whole community because it's really a diverse... You can see, even if you can't see who's voting and who are the users who have this power, you can see that it's a community with a certain degree of cognitive diversity, and they won't let bullshit pass, generally, unless it passes out of our attention span. You know, I cannot be there every day voting. So if I miss a day, perhaps a day, something slips by. But what I've seen up to now is that it's a community of very serious people who care about factual representation. They care about minimal intervention. They vote away most community notes, and they hide this whole moral argument. They really are there to just correct an obvious false fact if it is there. How much consensus is needed for a note to be posted? There is no transparency at all, so we don't get to see the numbers. We don't get to see just how much consensus is Twitter waiting for before they display it. But what we know is they are looking for consensus, and they are looking for consensus that is not democratic in nature, but that is spread out between the left and the right. Aenid says, how long until Odyssey bans you, JF? They banned Handsome Truth. Well, I don't care. I've never cared about Handsome Truth. I've always considered that he was a troll, a man who organizes internet activities of crowding other streams, trying to call out people on things that don't matter. I've always considered him an annoying troll, and I am not at all alarmed at the fact that Odyssey banned him. I'm not surprised. He has been a guy who doesn't deserve any sort of attention and yet tries to be overly edgy with the intent of gathering more attention. He's someone I have zero respect for, and I do not care that he was banned. I do not consider this a sign that Odyssey is bad. I consider it a sign that Odyssey does seem to have some serious detection of those kinds of trolls who the public space benefits from seeing banned. My awesome channel says, I don't see why anyone would consider Handsome Truth in the same category as JF. Exactly. It's a subversive edginess. I don't know who the hell watches this guy. What is interesting about him? I mean, if you watch this guy, you deserve him, really. Master Troll, give the lib no peace of mind. A wonderful video about a very daring monkey who doesn't care. He's just going to troll the tigers. This is someone was commenting on this tweet. Go away. Live interaction between Go Away and JF. That is pretty much the way Go Away interacts with the chat, right? He tries to provoke the JF tiger. Unbelievable. This monkey is taking life. Relax. Pulling their tails, pulling their ears. This is your job on the internet. Troll the lib until they cannot take it anymore and they run away from your tree. Aenid says, it's not the start of the banning wave, though. I mean, I don't have the impression that Odyssey is headed toward massive bannings. I don't know why they would do that. You know, because... I just don't see it. I don't see what would be their interest. I understand why YouTube gets into the banning game. First, they're probably paid for this. You know, they have all these, let's interact with the ADL. And you never know how much money got poured into whose pockets for this to happen. And at the same time, they are filled with female employees who come in and they don't know how to code. And it's like the whole company become parasitized. And they're like, oh, well, I can't contribute to the coding part, but here I have an ID. I'm going to be your trust and safety person. And so they start banning on the idea that, oh, yeah, we're going to get more ads that way. There is no evidence that any company has ever made a living out of banning people. There's never been a company that has risen to success on the internet because it had banned more people than their competitors. It just doesn't happen. So this whole idea that, oh, we're doing it for the ads, it's bullshit. My awesome channel says Odyssey doesn't have any ability to ban people from posting content to the library network anyway. The only thing they can ban is streaming. Yeah, and the library network is decentralized. But when Odyssey bans you, you are your public-facing side on Odyssey.com disappears, and you cannot live stream. There was an argument yesterday during the night with Andrew Wilson. Andrew Wilson and his wife Rachel, although I love them, you know, they started saying stuff on Twitter like, I don't care if you're black, Hispanic, if you're Christian, I would like to have you as a neighbor more than a white pagan. And I was like, see, guys, that is why that was Rachel, the wife of Andrew Wilson. And I was like, see, guys, that is why you don't let the woman decide real estate decisions, because they're going to bring you into a shitty, overpriced place. Where you'll be stuck in an elementary, because it's close to an elementary school, and the female thinks, so that is the greatest idea I've ever had. We're going to live close to an elementary school. Yes, we're going to pay $400,000 just to be close to it. And it's like, well, who's in that school? Who are going to be the friends of your child? Have you thought about this? No, Rachel... Rachel has given us here a perfect example of bad racial decision making. You should want to live beside... I don't care if the white woman is a witch who's doing incantations at night, just wishing harm on your family. The fact is she's much, much less likely end up killing your children or beating your children, and her child is less likely to beat your children. It's like, yeah, go for the pagan white woman. Worst case scenario, you're not gonna like her aesthetics. That's pretty much it. So there was a whole argument about, oh, does race exist? And people were coming at us with the classical anti-race arguments. And I said, when you're arguing about race and someone comes in with the, what about the Irish and Italian races? Ain't that a stain on your theory? And it's like, awkward smile. No, it's not. There are some people who are convinced like, oh yeah, I got my argument. I got the best argument against race ever. And as someone was framing it, and it's almost the form that it comes in, people come to you and they say, what about when everyone thought the Irish were black? It's like, this didn't happen. You just caught a pamphlet that was mocking Irish people racially. And you think because of this that everyone in society considered Irish people as black? I don't know a single case in which an Irish person would have been mistaken for an African. But the leftists, the anti-race people, they think it's the big gotcha. It's not a gotcha. Just like it's not a gotcha that some Greek philosophers were wrong about planet Earth revolving around the sun rather than being at the center of the solar system. It's really not a gotcha. Someone can have been wrong about the classification in the past without the idea of race being completely abolished. End of the line, Joel says, Ireland's new Irish are black, i.e. they have got passports now. Yeah, that's a separate question, but when they bring this, the race deniers, what they mean is they're talking about, I believe, the immigration laws of the U.S. that would have been disparaging toward the Irish. That is not race. That is not like an affirmation that the Irish are part of the African genetic nuclei. It doesn't get close to this. I reminded people about the revolutionary phenotype today on Twitter. 5 years ago, I published The Theory of Phenotypic Revolutions, which tells us that the genetic modification of human babies by AI will lead to our demise as a species. The theory also explains how DNA-based life came to be. Many thinkers in evolutionary theory have remained silent about my theory, despite that it receives support from the most prominent of them, Robert Rivers. The others will be judged harshly by history. They are letting today's bioethicists mislead the public into thinking that AI can be made safe without fully understanding the evolutionary game that is being set up. Their silence shows we lack a public truth-finding mechanism that can quickly identify a novel, valid scientific theory and the civilizational dangers it brings to our attention. We live in dark ages, and our descendants will be the ones paying for it. And I added Elon Musk, Richard Dawkins, Eli Yudkowsky, Brett Weinstein, and Robert Rivers. Come on, guys, get reading. It is an important question, and you'll thank me for being exposed to this great idea of the phenotypic revolution before your death. You shouldn't live in 2023, be headed toward your death without having been in contact with this genius idea. Why is Boston Dynamics teaching their robots how to fight? Yeah, there's going to be no chance against these robots. I'm going to be very clear here. Once these robots are fully developed to pursue goals, forget it. Can you imagine trying to box this robot? There's nothing you can do. I mean, you're gonna hurt your fist trying to knock him out. You just need massive guns that will totally undermine its structures, but you cannot go physical with these robots without superior weaponry. Island Player says it's fake, is it? I don't know. Let's have a look at the Twitter thread. Is it? I wouldn't be surprised that it's not fake, because I know the Boston Robotics robot, and it can do these things. It can backflip, for sure. I don't see it having difficulty at all punching. Let's see if in the Twitter thread someone has identified it as fake. I don't see anyone claiming that it's fake. I bet a lot of people thought this is real. Okay, perhaps some guy here is calling out the fake. This one looks computer animated to me. This is not real, lol. Okay, looks like CGI. Let's have a look at it again. Can we see a CGI effect in there? It's very convincing CGI if they've done so. Perhaps by looking at the ground. I don't see much ground activity under the feet of this robot. There's been a little smoke here, but this could be CGI added. But yeah, I don't see traces left in the ground by the robot. Yeah, I think you guys are right. It looks like it was fake. Well, certainly these robots are capable of doing things within those this order of magnitude of strength and speed. But you're right, looking at the ground, probably fake, most likely fake. Now, here's one thing that wasn't obtained through CGI, a very real human being.
Just a reminder that I am very fat and very sexy, and I am 100% glorifying.
The moment where she taps herself and the camera does a boom, it's like, holy shit, I'm feeling it. It's like she just hit me in the belly.
Just a reminder that I am very fat and very sexy, and I am 100%.
Terrifying images of what the world is coming to be. The first babies conceived with a sperm-injecting robot have been born. Meet the startups trying to engineer a desktop fertility machine. Yeah, so apparently a startup funded, among other people, by... did they say it was funded by the... was it the... Susan Wojcicki, the former CEO of YouTube, has raised the most, about $37 million from investors, including Kosla Ventures and Susan Wojcicki. Yeah, so Susan Wojcicki going straight into the... Yeah, let's... Now that we've censored JF, let's start developing those labs that will cause a phenotypic revolution. So, injection... Sperm injecting robot designed to simply, I guess, eventually it will give us the choice of selecting sperm, of bringing that sperm direct to the egg rather than just letting nature do its work in vitro or in vivo. So we're talking about more facilities to handle single sperms, choose single sperms, point them to single eggs, and make the fertilization happen. Conscious Charcoal, Caracal, was saying the key to understand is that collapse does not happen overnight. It is less like a bomb going off and more like a slow motion car crash. You don't wake up one morning in a collapsed country. It happens incident by incident through a process of accumulation, a train being late, an elderly woman being mugged, a brief power cut, a vandalized grave. Those are beautiful words. That is exactly how I see the fall of the American Empire. Something so slow that there is not really a moment at which you say, oh, well, things really got wrong here. But it's like it's always worse and people become increasingly more incompetent and you see kinds of accidents that you wouldn't have seen in the past or wouldn't have expected to be that frequent. That is how the American Empire falls. This is what I wanted to talk about today. I am extremely white-pilled about the mimetic force right now. I feel it. There is a great disturbance in the mimetic force. And it was all caused by Elon Musk. And holy shit, did I not expect in 2023 that we would be here with Elon Musk replying in the comment section of Keith Woods. That is extremely significant because Keith Woods is not just any right winger. He's a brilliant guy. And most importantly, he's been unbanned, recently. He was on our list of, hey, we need to have Keith Woods back. And eventually Elon unbanned him. But it's not any of the unbanned. It's a guy who has been consistently across the many years that precede, never giving up on one subject, always covering it on Telegram while he was banned on Twitter, the subject of Jewish power and Israeli interest in Western civilization. And Keith Woods has been solid on this subject. He's been bringing original facts. He's been bringing original analysis. He's been a very clever contributor to this question. And the fact that we have a CEO of Twitter replying to Keith Woods for an unrelated thing, something that's not related to the Jews, but still, it's related to a hate speech law that is taking ground in the UK, Ireland, free speech. So it doesn't matter, really. What matters here is that we are a much more open society, suddenly. And Elon Musk, at this point, is one degree of separation away from serious engagement with the JQ. And that is 2023, bro. We're winning and we're not even trying. It's like we're not even actively trying to push this subject any more than we were in the past. It's just a subject that is important, but you know, it's not critical to be pushing it right now. And yet, we see an opening here. We see that there are mainstream personalities who have engaged with it. There are comments by Eric Weinstein who couldn't help but talk about it on Joe Rogan. And we have now Elon Musk not just making a little tweet that says, "Who owns the press? Hello!" but being directly engaged with our friend Keith Woods. We have never been in such a winning stance, ever, even when we got Donald Trump in office. Because when we got Donald Trump in office, it wasn't clear whether Donald Trump would reciprocate, whether Donald Trump would be aligned with his own voter base. And he turned out not to be. But what we have here is intellectual progression. Not only are we getting unbanned, we are winning, and Keith Woods is there chilling out with Elon Musk in the reply section. It's a beautiful year. It's going to be the most beautiful year for the last decade. Mehdi Hassan, and just to show you how much we're winning, the community notes of Twitter is currently defending black-on-black homicide being overrepresented against the lies of the left, who are trying to lie about this fact. They can't lie anymore. See, the left was very powerful. When they had power, they were good at using it. They were good at advantaging themselves. They were good at going after their enemies with no regret, no compassion. They were silencing us and they were creating a fake narrative. But now they can't do this and they look terrible. Because now we have fact checks of the kind of people have called this fact check the Steve Saylord. They say that Mehdi Hassan has gotten Steve Saylord. Of course, Steve Saylor is one of these guys who's been pushing race statistics on Twitter for many years. And so they've created an expression is that you're getting Steve Saylord. But those are arguments we would have in a fringe debate format 7 years ago. And now they're right there standing by the official voice of the Twitter logo. Now, of course, Community Notes is not Twitter. Community Notes is Twitter users. But still, to be able to have those facts brought to the forefront of the discussion and done so beautifully by Twitter and by basically the force of the community, man, it's got to be white pitting for anyone in our anyone who, like us who have been targeted so that we couldn't say these things. So look at the original video, and this is what got fact-checked. Let's listen to it.
As a Muslim, I have fond memories of Bill Maher lecturing Muslims at the height of the Al-Qaeda and ISIS threats on the need for my community to condemn terrorism and speak out against the extremism in our midst, as if many of us Muslims weren't already doing that, and as if Muslims were uniquely violent. Well, Maher is doing the same lazy, offensive routine.
Shootings are young black men killing other young black men. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
Bill Maher being relatively based.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, much more than what the cops do.
I showed the graph. The cops, it's like, it's a slice that you can't basically see in the graph, whereas black-on-black homicide is like the whole graph. Basically, cops killing black people is an inexistent phenomenon compared to black people killing black people.
Why doesn't anybody talk about that? Well, I mean, why aren't there, 100 giant black celebrities who would have the respect of those people saying, what are you doing to yourselves? Why are you killing each other?
This is no way to live. This dishonors our community. Come on. We're better than this.
Right. I feel like it's never addressed.
How many racist tropes can you fit into one Bill Maher clip? First off, Chicago? Really? I mean, it's the predictable go-to criminal dystopia for...
Well, don't just say it's stereotypical to bring up this city. Make the case that he was wrong. If it's a trope, if it's a racist trope, you're going to be able to bring facts that are contrary to what he brought. You can't. So you're really merely just pointing to the fact that it's a trope, but you're not caring about whether it's true.
Right-wingers, but that's not the reality. Chicago isn't even in the top 10 or top 20 deadliest cities in America. It ranks below cities in red states like Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Columbus, Georgia. And yet Chicago, with its majority-minority population...
There is worse, therefore we shouldn't care about this. Now, of course, you go into any of these other cities, and I'm surprised that there would be 10 cities more deadly than Chicago. How did he get to these calculations? Because Chicago, to me, is always in the top five whenever I do these calculations. So what are the top murderous cities in America? How did he calculate this? Did he use fractionate representations? Did he use raw numbers? Detroit always in the top. Chicago is featured as number 10. But those are the 20 cities in the United States with the highest murder rates. Murders per 100,000 people. Yeah, so here in my data that I have here from World Population Review, it is in the top 10. It is not at the top. There's St. Louis, Baltimore, New Orleans, Detroit, Cleveland, Las Vegas, Kansas City, Memphis, and Newark, New Jersey. And then you got Chicago. But we know what is the phenomenon in each of these cities, and it is the exact same as Chicago. It is a demographic constitution that overrepresents races that are more likely to murder each other.
Population and its progressive black mayor-elect is the place that people like Bill Maher always want to talk about and fearmonger about. Wonder why. Second, the whole black people killing other black people, black-on-black crime. Are you kidding me? White people kill other white people at almost the same rate.
This is what got fact-checked by the community notes. White people kill other white people at almost the same rate. Untrue. I get the deception that he was trying to engage in, but he misspoke in making that deception properly. So when the leftists want to do that deception, they are not talking about rate. They will move without telling you to raw numbers. Now, in raw numbers, if you look at the number of murders committed by white versus the number of murders committed by black men, it's going to be pretty much the same. But it's the same because there are many more white people in America than black people. And so it's all abandoning the per capita representation. You end up deceiving the audience by making them believe that it's a rate. Well, the community notes, and this was the quote, he was quoting himself in the tweet, saying, white people kill other white people at almost the same rate black people kill other black people. And yet you never hear anyone complaining about white-on-white crime. These aren't points of sage wisdom from Maher. They are classic racist dog whistles. Now the community notes comes in. According to the 2019 FBI stats, there were 2,594 white-on-white homicides and 2,574 black-on-black homicides. In 2019, white population in the U.S. was 60.1% of total population, black was 12.2%. Thus, the per capita murder rate was much higher in the black-on-black group. That is commonly known, and anyone who's been engaging in debate on these subjects, it is something you can take for granted. It's going to keep going year after year. There is a massive overrepresentation of black men in the murderers category and also in the victims of murders. So I'm so happy that this is now sticked as a label onto a mainstream journalist from MSNBC. We're going to have to start counting. We're going to have to start building databases of just how many times. Why isn't there a wall of shame of how every single tweet that you've done in your career that gets a community note correction should be displayed on this wall of shame? Of course, don't call it wall of shame because it's going to have all sorts of defamatory implications for Elon, but call it whatever, the gallery of notes. Why don't we have a gallery of notes and we start accumulating just how many of these mainstream journalists have been caught lying to the public. Beautiful to see what Elon Musk has been doing with Twitter. Why Black Bear says Scott Adams had to have this explained to him in detail, but I can't help thinking he wanted people to explain it for others. He understood himself. Yeah, the full state of intent behind Scott Adams' intervention, maybe we'll never know. I think he's going to bring it away. He's going to bring it away in his tomb. I think he has decided to engage in a public experiment, and he's going to leave us guessing for the rest of our lives. John Drake says, a quick glance at FBI statistics explains all you need to know. Yeah, and you know, if there's one organization that I would expect to be trying everything they can for these statistics not to be biased against black people, that is certainly the FBI. And yet even them cannot avoid the truth. The data keeps coming in and it keeps confirming the idea that races have different rates of violent behavior. You're not white-pilled enough yet? Keith Woods. Keith Woods post about an attack on free speech in Ireland. Ireland is about to pass one of the most radical hate speech bills yet. Merely possessing hateful material on your devices is enough to face prison time. Not only that, but the burden of proof is shifted to the accused, who is expected to prove they didn't intend to use the material for hate. So, subject to subsections, a person shall be guilty of an offense if the person prepares or possesses material that is likely to incite violence or hatred against a person or a group of persons on account of their protected characteristics or any of those characteristics with a view to the material being communicated to the public or a section of the public, whether by himself or herself or another person. I mean, this is grave. Maybe each of my shows could potentially be construed to be illegal under this law. I mean, imagine, I have a recording of my live stream of yesterday. I mean, there was no live stream yesterday, but suppose that yesterday I talked about, okay, the rates of crime among whites and blacks. That is material that I prepare or possess. who's going to decide if it's likely to incite violence or hatred? The audience, the jury, the judge, the government? Who's going to decide what is likely to cause hatred? And so, potentially, a streamer in Ireland cannot stream anymore, talking about any subject that's related to gender, race, or whatever, because it can always be construed as, well, it could incite hatred. And unbelievably, the person shall be presumed until the contrary is proved to have been in possession of the material in contravention of subsection 1. So you are presumed, if the material was in your possession, they don't have even to prove that you knew about it. If it was on your computer, you were in possession. Burden of proof shifted. So that means if I have a virus on my computer and that some alt-right, far-right figures are using my computer to stream their shows or to upload torrents of hate or to upload books of hate, now I am responsible and I am presumed to have known that my computer contained those memes of hate. Now, this is extremely worrying, but the big white pill here, Elon Musk replies to Keith Woods, 2.4 million views on his reply, 9.1 million views on Keith Woods' original post. Holy shit, he says, this is a massive attack against freedom of speech. I never thought I would see this. You know, back in the days when I was doing reply videos to Keith Woods on idealism and epistemology and whether we truly know what's around us and holy shit, and empiricism, I would have never believed that there was a future in which Keith Woods is continuing his best contribution to the internet through Twitter. And the CEO of Twitter is having a conversation with him about free speech. I love what I'm seeing. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. And if you'd like to send an Odyssey Super Chat, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account. Blanket says, could they even play video games on live streams in Ireland, especially action games? Who knows? Maybe someone in the voice chat says something controversial, and now you are in possession of the material, and you are presumed to have known. Giga Chad of the past here, a Giga Chad who had accumulated the world's oldest gold found near the Black Sea. I mean, this must have been some very powerful man. Look at this. Rings of gold around his arm. Some kind of bong to smoke pot made up of gold. A necklace of gold. Wrist armbands. Some gold here, some balls of gold spread out. He's laying on balls of gold. And just in case, I mean, you can't help but notice, but this guy had a gold cap on his penis. This guy was the man with the golden foreskin. The man who... I don't know. Is it a medical thing? Is it a sexual thing? Does it help empty the sperm of the female so that your sperm can be replacing the sperm of other men? I don't know. What's the function of this? Or is it that he had a sexually transmitted disease and gold has, I don't know, maybe an appeasing effect for the skin? Maybe it was itching? I don't know. But this guy had a golden cap on his penis. Wow. And we can even get the length of the penis estimated from just the position that it is with respect to the hips. I mean, this guy was pretty well equipped. Blanket says, everything is golden. Fleur de Sel says, men with the golden foreskin. People were pulling memes about Austin Powers, you know, the golden member. Silver Spider says he wore it so they couldn't circumcise him. Ah, maybe it's a protective device. You know, you never know when someone will come in and from behind and chop your foreskin. This guy knew about the dangers, and he had taken the means to protect himself. I can see this selling on, you know, on Fox News. They sell a lot of gold on all these right-wing, you know, center-right conservative channels. Have you ever considered that your money is being printed away of existence? It's 1 week later with hyperinflation, it's going to be worth nothing. That's why you should always be serious about your assets and investment and protect them with gold. And, you know, free with your first lingot, we are going to give you a gold cap to protect your foreskin, because that's also an asset that you wouldn't want to inflate too much. 19-year-old arrested after deadly mass shooting at Bay St. Louis, Mississippi house party. I don't know much about the circumstances, but here we got the shooter arrested. Four of victims, two dead, four injured. Three of the remaining victims are in critical condition, while the other three are in stable but serious conditions. Okay. We'll follow this. I don't know if it was ideological or if it was just a party guy frustrated against a group. I don't know. We are receiving massive amounts of super chats. Shrigma Mail says, hey, Jeff. Oh, he has sent me three times the same super chat. But I'm very sorry, Shrigma Mail. I don't want to charge you three times for this. So I'll try contacting Odyssey, because you appear to have been caught in an Odyssey bug that for some reason has repeated your super chat three times. So I'll write to Odyssey at the end of the show. It happened before, and they had uncharged it. He says, hey, Jeff, I have found woman in the age range of 18 to 2022 find me attractive, but woman in the age range 23 to 26 do not entertain the idea of dating me. My girlfriend right now is 20, and I'm now 26. She tells me she likes the age gap. That is absolutely wonderful, bro. You know, if it's easier for you, everything is better that way. So keep doing it. I mean, you go for the older females if you have no choice, if you're getting too old for the 20-year-old. But if they come to you and they like you and they prefer you and it gets to a better relationship, go for it. I mean, everything is better with young females. So absolutely, very happy for you. And it makes sense at 26 years old. Because the problem is when you try to charm a 23 to 29, she is really thinking of herself as this very mature, you know, I need someone who's got his thing in order, and you're going to look a little young to her. She's going to aim more for the range of 30 to 40 years old with an accomplished CV, you know. Whereas the 20-year-old is betting on, okay, this guy looks okay. You know, I'm betting on the probability that he's going to be a good guy for me, not so much on the past history of demonstration. And so it leads to a relationship that is much more shapeable, because at 20-year-old, her brain is not totally formed, and you can form it into an adult female that is not hateful, that is not too much of a feminist, and that will not annoy you too much. So very happy for you. Wow, you got your 20-year-old girlfriend. There's nothing else you need in life, bro. You just keep going and bring her to the reproduction track as soon as possible. Show her that you can pay for a house if you can. Give her confidence and time for breeding as quickly as you can. And take good care of her also, you know. The fact is, when you're young, you care less about these females that are really great. And it's like you don't fully respect the value that you have. But the fact is, when you try dating at 40 years old, it's going to be a crappy market. So you should enjoy while the market is on your side, while you get the chance to have a decent female, because there is a point in your life where you won't be able to. You won't want to, and you won't be able to getting these females. So very happy for you. And keep it on. You have been working hard to get there, but you're there now, because at 20-year-old, it's very rare that she's going to be as insane as the old ones, because they tend to get insane later in life. At 20 years old, she's going to be okay with being submissive, okay with being guided in life. She's not going to be trying to impose herself too much, unless she's a far leftist. Unless she's a far leftist, in which case she might come at you with some sort of concerns around trans and racial equity and that kind of crap. But if she's just a middle of the ground type of woman, or even a conservative, she's going to be fully submissive to you, and you're going to be able to shape her into whatever you want going forward, make her into a pleasant wife. And oh my God, is that desirable? She has the most chance to stay with you forever. Like, if you pick an older female, she has much less chance to stay with you forever. So you have hit the jackpot. You are here's a visual representation of your current situation, Shrig Mamel. You are the man with the golden member. You are the man with the golden foreskin, the man who has preserved himself, who has kept his asset into a tubular protective structure. You are in good circumstance. Absolutely desirable place to be, and that's where everyone should be. Ari Sison, this is the bunch of kids. I've seen some of their videos. They are Democrat agents, and they're these rising mimetic stars of the pro-Democrat leftist. Look at them. And they always do these things with their hands when they're explaining stuff. It's like, hey, don't come and talk to me about gun rights, okay? Because here's how many people are dying in Cincinnati. Here. They've took the Jordan Peterson kind of weird end movements, and they've commercialized it into more like a tapping type of gesture. Absolutely weird, but it's like, and this is going to be your rising stars, leftists. Like, these guys are pure Aryans. They are 100% white, like white to the point of having freaking blue eyes and green eyes. That's just how white these people are. They're whiter than me, and I'm 100% white.
You want to appeal to Gen Z, but you call us stupid, you say we're dumb, you say we're indoctrinated. I promise, it's a losing strategy.
And Gen Z is watching the Republican Party extremely...
They are the Diamond Silks, Diamond and Silk of the Democrat side. With this whole, I speak, you confirm with your gesture, I speak, we have our script. End of the line, Joel says, read the script, boys. Absolutely scripted stuff. These guys couldn't hold in a debate for 5 seconds.
Closely as they destroy our environment, take rights away from women, do nothing about kids being shot in schools, and if they think they can give the middle finger to our generation and get away with it, they're sorely mistaken. What the Republican Party doesn't understand about Gen Z is we don't like you.
You claim you want to appeal to Gen Z, but you call us stupid, you say we're dumb.
This doesn't sound natural at all. You can see it's not a natural rhythm of speech. Those are people reading a script. You don't come and chain up your sentence right after this guy ends up talking. You're trying to compress. You are reading two scripts. You know exactly when to jump in, and you continue the sentence. This is Diamond and Silk.
You say we're indoctrinated. I promise it's a losing strategy.
And Gen Z is watching the Republican Party extremely closely as they destroy our environment, take rights away from women, do nothing about kids being shot in schools. And if they think they can give the middle finger to our generation and get away with it, they're sorely mistaken. What the Republican Party doesn't
It's so annoying. Now, these guys are claiming to debunk the BS from the Republican Party because right-wingers have started looking into these guys. Turns out they created a little corporation that hires them. Palette Management, okay? A Palette Management Talent Agency. So they have this little company that pays them. Now, they got this little company to get a $200,000, $200K from the DNC in the last 8 months. So the DNC is paying their company so that this company pays them. And they started claiming, this is all bullshit. We are not paid by the DNC. But okay, you are 1 degree of separation through a corporate structure to being paid by the DNC. So you're paid by the DNC. Those are the stars that Joe Biden will rely on to win the 2024 election. And someone was asking, Jeff, is there anything else white pilling today? Well, that's white pilling. The Democrats, when they control the public space, they are very good because they destroy us. They make us not exist. That's what they did with Twitter. That's what they did with YouTube. But when they lose control, they have these pathetic little boys come after us with their Diamond and Silk pattern rhythm, and it sucks. They look terrible. You're not going to win the social media with this kind of crap. Of course, you're going to get engagement. Of course, you're going to get a couple hundred thousand millions of views on each of these videos. But it's all artificial because it's ultimately all your side. You're not really making progress. You're not imposing your view like you are doing when you were owning Twitter. And so they are claiming to debunk. Republicans would rather make up BS lies about myself and Chris than talk about real issues. Okay, because you two guys have ever talked about real issues? It's absurd how much attention they give to a couple of people in their 20s. Okay, so now we learn that they're a couple. Is this some gay relationship happening? Who started social media pages from nothing and are simply passionate about the issues. Well, you're passionate about the issues, okay. And you're getting paid $200K for it also. Many have no understanding of how management companies work. It's absurd, and the conspiracy theorists are embarrassing themselves. It's amazing how some folks have nothing better to do than create fake conspiracies about 20-year-olds online. So this is all designed as a tweet to make it look like a denial. There's no denial there. He's just saying, oh yeah, you guys are conspiracy theorists. When you say that we're paid by the DNC, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. I can't believe that you're spending so much time on these conspiracies. Well, okay, what are the facts? Let's look at the community note. In late 2022, Biden's campaign team connected with young social media influencers, including Harry Sisson, to draw in voters ages 18 to 29. Sisson recently signed with Palette Management. Palette received more than $200K from the DNC in the last 8 months. So you are getting paid for these political videos. They are counting on you to be the leftist voice carrying the Democrat Party toward the young generations. Absolutely pathetic that you're making a tweet that's aimed at deceiving people, making it look like you're denying, when in fact you are not. I'm 20 year old and I think, that's another case of a bought out influencer. Victor Shi says, I'm 20 year old and I think this 80 year old who put on aviators and literally unleashed Dark Brendan is pretty cool. Who agrees? He shares an unimportant video.
The podium is yours. I'm going to be fine with your jokes, but I'm not sure about Dark Brendan.
A little AstroTurf joke here being pushed by leftists on the social media. Unbelievable to see these young operatives of the Democrat Party trying to penetrate mimetic culture with a leftist view that doesn't come naturally to it. Blanket says, Jeff, they call everything they disagree with a CT, and it comes out to be true. It turns out to be true. Oh yeah, a CT, a conspiracy theory. Yes, they love using this as a way not to have to address any of the content. Texas mass shooter, still on the loose after shooting five neighbors, execution style. Absolutely disgusting story of a man who was triggered by his neighbors complaining that their baby's sleep was interrupted by, I believe he was making noise, he was listening to music. he was shooting. He was regularly shooting on his land, and they were asking him, could you stop shooting randomly at night because it wakes our baby up? He ends up killing five of them. That is absolutely sad, and he has escaped. He has run away, and people are speculating that he could be in Mexico, that it could be out of the country. I don't know. Gonzalo Lira, our friend Coach Red Pill, is warning people that they should leave the West. I don't know that I agree necessarily. I mean, being in Canada, I did see that Canada was a decent choice, although it is being dominated by communism. I've decided that it was still the best choice given the alternatives in my situation. But he says that these are the reasons you should leave the West, be it in the US or Europe, and never look back. One, there is no democracy. The political system does not represent the will of the people. Legitimate grievances and problems that affect the entire population are left unaddressed. Policies are implemented that a majority do not want or support, such as illegal immigration, censorship, blah, blah, blah. There is no free and independent media. There is no free speech, terrible education, racial and ethnic strife. Yeah, I agree with all these observations. I agree. But sometimes it's not better elsewhere. Shrigma Mel says her parents think she should stay with me. This was part of a larger conversation. He was saying other people have said that already. She's too young to settle down. Yeah, you're gonna have to be careful with her spending most time of her free time with you rather than her friends, because her friends will try ripping her from you. But if you can, if you say that her parents agree that she should stay with you, make it happen, my friend, make it happen, because once you stay at the same place, there will be much less of her friendly influence on her. Of course, you don't want to be too harsh on the friendly influences, because she's gonna accuse you of being controlling. But you want to keep her entertained, run circles around her, keep her happy, so that she doesn't need to go seek this friendship. Because unfortunately, friendship is extremely dangerous in the current world, because so many of our friends must have been convinced by anti-natal propaganda that you run the risk of influencing her away from you, and even perhaps brainwashing her into making claims of abuse against you eventually. So you have to be very careful with friends. If her parents agree to put her in your hands and to live with her somewhere, that would be awesome. That gets you very well started. My God, I'm super happy for you. You are on the track, and you've been calling out the bullshit. You've been re-raising and re-raising in the last few months. I saw you, and I was almost nervous for you, you know, for you to make all those bold decisions, like reject the woman with the tattoos, reject this other woman because she wasn't good for you. And you have attained, you have achieved. Holy shit, am I so happy for you, Shrig Mamel. Those are excellent news. Very, very white pilling. Epstein's private calendar emerges. Among prominent names listed are Biden's CIA chief, Goldman top lawyer, and Noam Chomsky. Those would be people that have been interacting, that were on the schedule for having interacted with Jeff Epstein. So yeah, these things, I'm not super fascinated by this whole fascination around Jeffrey Epstein. And we want the list. We want everyone who was in his surrounding. Because I know very well, as someone who was in the surrounding of Jeffrey Epstein, I know very well that you can be in the surrounding of Jeffrey Epstein without being a pedo. So it's like, it doesn't give you much info that, oh yeah, he was on the schedule. Well, maybe I was on the schedule at some point. And maybe you'll find my name in a schedule or in his black book. Up to now, they've not been finding it. But you could, because he gave me money. And I know very well that you can be even, you know, sympathetic to Jeffrey Epstein's cause without being a pedo. Because when I was interacting with him, my goal was to fix him, was to put him on the track of reproduction, monogamous marriage, choose a woman and reproduce with her. I wanted to fix Jeffrey Epstein. And you could find my name in his calendar. I wouldn't be ashamed at all. Because when I saw this man, I thought, here's a man who has fought, because I didn't know he was that much of a pedo, but I knew that he was very much sexual with women, that he was living in some kind of sexual promiscuity. And I thought, you know what, maybe if I talk to him one day, if I have a private conversation with him, I can explain to him that he has to change his life direction. I wanted Jeffrey Epstein to find a wife, to marry her, to be in love with her, and to make babies with her. Now he's dead, and who knows, he may not have left a single child. So you fucked all these women, and all these, not even women, all these children, and you don't have a single child that we know of? That sucks, man. I would have liked to get to him in time to fix him before all of this went on. But I couldn't. I couldn't because he was so attracted by power. And I think he saw that I would leave him zero power. Dai Onigmien says, visit JFG Island and learn about the revolutionary phenotype. Yeah, we could have made... The Epstein Island could have become the museum of phenotypic revolutions, where Jeffrey Epstein would have been in his beach house with a single woman that he would care for and love. I mean, I'm naive. I'm just like this. I want to believe that it's possible. DK Shadow says, I suspect Epstein has bastard children out there. He may have such children, but who knows? You know, with these women who were around his circles for the purpose of getting money, those are the kind of women that I expect will go get an abortion. So you would need to have a very dedicated woman who decides, I'm going to go get Jeffrey Epstein's sperm and I'm going to keep the baby, and with the whole idea that, oh, he's going to be forced to fund my life afterward. This can happen. It can happen. Steve Saylor, a beautiful meme showing Steve Saylor in the past, you know, raising young Twitter statistics enthusiast. And eventually Steve Saylor becomes an old man and the community notes grow and they start sharing racial statistics now. This is such a beautiful meme, so moving. Because I've been through this whole thing. You know, I've been through the whole war about will we be able to talk about truths on the public space? And there was a time where we wouldn't think that it was possible, that they've had succeeded at silencing us. And now we win. Now we are the big Ninja Turtles, just shredding Shredder. New California gold rush coming as record snowpack melts. Okay, so apparently when the snow melts, there is more chance to find gold that was left there. California's first gold rush in 1848 brought fortune seekers from all over the world. More than 300,000 came to the territory and gold was worth 20.67 per ounce. Today, each ounce is worth about 2,000. I don't know. I look at this and I'm like, how much gold is there in this? Is that per gold? Is that like 0.01% gold? I have no clue. RIP Vice News. Vice News is closing. And Reclaim the Net says, your journalism was second to none. They remind of this article that was featuring a bullet passing through the wall, but this is not a bullet that can have been fired because the part of the bullet that gets fired is just this right here. So someone inserted a bullet there, a high-caliber bullet poked at one of the gates outside Ovidio Guzman's house in Jesus Maria, Sinaloa. Of course, this was not a high-caliber bullet that poked through the house, since it's a bullet that can visibly be proven not to have been fired. It still has its jacket. And finally, a last news item before I close the show. Unbelievable. But Jack Dorsey is saying that Elon Musk wasn't an ideal leader. Bro, you know nothing about this. Your opinion is irrelevant at this point. You have been working actively on competition. That competition hasn't risen yet. This whole blue sky thing, I went on the website, as far as I can tell up to now, it's a protocol. It's not been implemented in anything that people can use. So you have no place. For you to have destroyed Twitter, for you to have let Twitter succumb to leftist control, you have no right and no place to judge the current state of it, which actually is pretty amazing. Of course, if you don't like it that way, then what it reveals to me is that Twitter was put on the road to censorship by you intentionally, and that's how you liked it. You've always posed, you know, Jack Dorsey has always posed as someone relatively open and like, oh, I'm letting Vijaya Gadde do all this censorship stuff. It's not my thing. But ultimately, they weren't doing this against your will. You have let it happen under your care, and therefore you're responsible for it. Big Tech Exodus says, is Jack going to create another Mastodon? Yeah, he's trying to create Blue Sky, which is a protocol, a decentralized open protocol rooted in Nostr. So it's hard for me to tell exactly what it's going to be, but my understanding is it's basically going to be Nostr, but they're creating a layer above it, and they want to create a standard that perhaps Twitter would use, for example. But it's all about, can you create the network effect that everyone will want to use it? Because up to now, I can't see this happening for now. And maybe in the future, we're going to have technological developments and it will be easy for Twitter to integrate this and make it. Basically, you could have the centralized Twitter or you could have the option of decentralized Twitter. But as long as the crowd is on Twitter and is on those other established websites, the protocol itself, I don't see it attracting much pull. And there's always going to be a lot of technical issues, a lot of slowdowns. It's never going to be as efficient as the big machine that Twitter has become. But I think you're always going to face some difficulties, which I would love Elon Musk to resolve these difficulties. But to have someone from the outside of Twitter like this try to develop its thing as standing against Twitter, I don't know. I don't know. And on top of it, him negatively commenting on the current state of Twitter, you don't know what you're talking about, Jack. Twitter has been fixed by Elon Musk, largely fixed from your damage. GK Sado says, Jack is trying to leverage Bitcoin / Lightning Network and Bitcoiner. Yeah, there is some tying of all this to the blockchain, but I don't know. What I've seen up to now is that the base of the whole Blue Sky project is Noster, from my understanding. Falsification of history. The Egyptians are offended that Netflix has represented Cleopatra as black. When Queen Cleopatra is known to have been, to have had what they call Hellenistic feature, so Greek feature. And in fact, there has been genetic work on mummies, and the mummies were very much European genetics. They were close to current European genetics. In fact, much more so than it appears. The current inhabitants of Egypt. So, now Netflix has, they went a black identitarian Wakanda type of direction, and the Egyptians are pissed. Because ultimately, you know, this whole question of black people being represented more and more in United States culture because of this whole mentality of inclusivity and diversity and etc. This is a very American thing. It's probably generating much less interest in a Middle Eastern or North African society. They probably think of black people in the same way they thought about them 30 years ago. But now you have the Egyptians who are seeing this United States corporation, you know, Netflix, and producing stuff about Egypt and basically blackwashing Egyptian culture for what is ultimately a racial conflict that is purely American, this whole black versus white conflict, and black must be more represented in Hollywood and more represented on our streaming services. So they're like, no, we don't want any of this. Cleopatra wasn't black. Well, at least someone is saying it. Thankfully, someone is standing against this artificial overrepresentation. John Drake says, you would think blacks were 90% of the population, judging by the commercials. Exactly. And we are removing, you know, an anthropologist who would look at current TV shows, movies, would have a completely mistaken impression of the state of American civilization. That is very sad. All right, that's it for tonight, boys. Shrink Mamel, you made my day. I'm so happy because your sex life was on my mind. It's been on my mind for many months. I was like, holy shit, he's doing everything right. I hope that this guy succeeds because he's doing everything right. And wow, you have your 20-year-old waifu. You have her parents happy about it. You have that you could be living together. You're gonna have babies in a couple of years from now, I'm sure. Holy shit, that is impressive. Bye-bye.